Sure.
Okay, let's call the meeting to order. And Tara, will you let us know when we are being recorded?
We're good to go. Ready.
Awesome. So let's start with the approval of today's agenda. Ken had emailed out several documents, and that was one of them that was emailed out. And we have, after community comments, a review of the rec program, an event overview, a short discussion on park volunteer recognition, focus on community input, always items of interest from the board, and then general updates. Are there any specific items of interest from the board that you would like to add? Okay, then can somebody make a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
I'll approve it.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Good.
Aye.
And then did you get a chance to go through the minutes from our last Parks and Rec Board? Were there any changes, or do we have a motion to approve?
Vicki, I had one change. It all looked good. However, on number three,
yeah,
full of summary notes, I shows that I moved to approve the agenda and I seconded it. I'm pretty talented, but I'm not quite sure I can pull that one off.
Okay. So noted. And we'll just say, and it was seconded. How's that?
That's good.
With that change, I didn't even notice that. That's awesome. With that change, are there any other issues, or is there somebody who'd like to make a motion to approve?
I move to approve it.
Great. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Awesome. I love that. All in favor? Yes.
Yes.
Anybody opposed? Okay. So let's go ahead and move on to community comments. I believe we have one person in the waiting room who would like to speak to the Parks Board.
Okay, I'm going to let Tom Meyer in.
Hi, Tom. Can you hear us? Tom, can you hear us? We cannot see or hear you. Okay, we can hear you now. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Do we have a timekeeper tonight?
I have no idea.
Thank you, Chris. All right. You have a maximum of 5 minutes. Tom, what would you like to share with the Parks Board tonight?
Well, I wanted to give you an update. I don't know why this is not showing. What do you see? Do you see the Premier Fitness Court? Or do you see me?
We don't see anything. I don't think you have a video showing right now.
I'll start my video. Okay, I'll try that. What do you see now, me or?
We see you with a nice backdrop.
Okay, let me switch the camera around. It doesn't allow you to switch the camera around. Ah, here we go.
There you go. Awesome.
I'm here broadcasting from the Premier Fitness Court. And as you can see, there is nobody on the court. It's a beautiful day. I just left the pickleball courts, and they have 16 people and two waiting. Now, this is one of the biggest boondoggles in Westland history. It was allocated $80,000, and by the time the project was finished, you had about 150,000 wrapped up in this project. Now, I heard last month that you've tabled the covered pickleball project. Now, you can't, the council couldn't do that. That was a work session and they couldn't table it because the mandate was from a full council to move forward with that project over 3 years ago. And Ms. testified last May 17th or 19th, whatever it was, at the council, that he had no bids under 90,000. And that's patently false. I gave him two bids that are under 90,000. So this is a shame. There are, like I said, 18 people over at the pickleball court, and that court is well used. Here you have $150,000, including $50,000 of SDC funding, and it's not being utilized by anyone. What a waste. Now, I understand that they're going to open up Hammer Lake, and nobody's going to use that. The people live around here that play here, and there are several problems with the pickleball court. The windscreens aren't maintained. The courts aren't blown regularly. There's no containment between the two opposing courts, so you get a lot of ball drift between the two courts. I should say between the four courts. And it's a hazard because balls oftentimes sneak up on you when you're not facing in that direction. So you have a real liability, and there's no reason why we can't put some money. Tanner Creek, not Tanner Creek, but Tanner Ridge is putting forth an SDC funding, parks SDC funding, over $500,000. There's no reason to deny us the opportunity to finish this project. The Parks Board, known by the mantra, delay, delay, and they'll go away. We're not going away. That project deserves to be finished. And when the debate comes up for citizen input for the budget, I'm going to be there to allocate or to advocate, I should say, for the completion of that project. Anyway, so there's some things that have to be said and done. Hammerley is a waste of money, just as Skyline Ridge was a waste of money. And the pickleball courts, they're not causing the parking problem. I can go over there. It'll take me a couple minutes to go over there, and I can give you a live feed from the pickleball courts, and you can talk to the people there. That would be some, you know, great input for you. If you give me the permission, I'll hop on my bike and go over and be there.
Tom, as an individual citizen, we always value your input, and I think all of the park board knows how popular pickleball is in our community. So we'll okay. take your word for it. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Well, okay. Any questions? Anything we can resolve about the pickleball cover?
Board, are there any follow-up questions? It doesn't appear that there are any questions, Tom. I want to thank you for participating. And I'm sorry, did I miss somebody?
Okay.
I want to thank you for your input, and I particularly appreciate the Premier Fitness Court visual. Well, it was very, very effective. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you.
Anyway, this is
some. Thank you. Are there any other citizens for input, Tara?
No.
Awesome. Okay. So, first agenda item of discussion is rec program and event overview. We had all taken ownership for going through the rec guide, and tonight we just wanted to give Tara an opportunity to just provide some highlights, and if we have any questions, comments, or feedback, this is a chance for us to take a closer look and then move on. So I'll hand it over to Tara.
Okay. Is everybody able to open it and go through it okay?
Tara, do you
have a chance to look at it? Can you raise your hand so that we know?
Tara, do you want me to share it and just kind of go through it?
Sure. Yeah, it's kind of a flip.
I start with ACC or the brochure?
We can start with the brochure, summer brochure. Or, yeah.
As you're pulling that up, Parks Board, do you have any initial feedback after your review?
I have one question, one point. It's about the Adult Community Center newsletter. I don't know if you do or if they as their own entity do it. It's just that on one of the final pages, it said the SHIBA, the senior health information, just as an informational, the header, it just says SHIBA. If you could just spell out the word SHIBA, you know, like this is senior health insurance, blah, blah, blah. Just so it's clear what it was, because I had to Google it. I was like, what is the SHIBA? So, because I wasn't familiar. So just for clarity, because obviously new people are coming of a certain age all the time. So just a little point.
Sure. Yeah, so that one, our recreation coordinators put that together, Tiffany and Megan. Yeah, so I'll certainly, give them that feedback, but that's good information.
Well, I'll start with just some general feedback. I am, again, absolutely amazed at the recreation program that such a small staff coming, easing out of COVID has been able to put together. And I'm very grateful for all your work. You did a really nice job.
Yeah, so we started with our kind of our Mother's Day plant sale last week. Pretty good turnout considering the weather was very spring-like. A lot of showers, a little chilly. Good turnout for that at the Adult Center. And then you can see our special events on there, Pollinator Week. So we can keep with Bee City USA. We did end up pulling our artesian market, unfortunately. We just didn't get enough vendors to make it worthwhile.
Too bad.
Down at the park. So we're moving forward with movies in the park. We're gonna move that up to Tanner Creek Park along with music in the park due to guidelines right now that we have to have a fenced in area. So it'll just be easier to have one location fenced in for now, and getting the pods all set out. So reservations will start for that beginning of June. So we're hoping we can, get to a different risk level so we can open that up a little more to people.
Tara, what's the capacity for the movies and the music? You mentioned pods. How many pods? What's like the capacity there? Is it?
Yeah, so we can, we're getting a measurement of Tanner Creek Park right now, but we can do 10-foot pods. We're just going to paint circles 10 feet, and we can allow 6 people per pod. So right now for like movies, we're thinking about 100 to 200 people possibly at Tanner Creek Park. Typically on a normal movie we've had before, it's been about 100, a little over 100 people that have come out to the local parks. Music in the park, we're trying to be closer to the 500 to 1,000, maybe a little more than that. And that one's a little different because if we do food, we're gonna have to have picnic packages for people pick up and come in and eat, or they'll bring their own food in. Youth camps, registration has been fantastic. We've got a lot of camps filled up. Some of them are all limited to 15. We can go up to 20 right now with some of the camp guidelines, depending on our facilities and our spacing. Wait lists for a lot of them.
Really? Already?
Yeah. Especially the outdoor ones, outdoor and our aerial, AWOL. Camps, but yeah, most of our other ones, we've just constant registration. So it's been really, really good for that. The other events, we're trying to get a carnival contract going, so that will hopefully be the end of July. We're going to have that down at Willamette Park, so we can get them hopefully run next year also, if we get back to the old time fair. And then we've got our sports programs. Those are popular. Our programming is a little slower. Oil painting has been very popular. This was a new pickleball class. We had about 4 or 5 people sign up for each class, kind of an introduction and beginners. So that was great. And our exercise classes have been pretty steady also. Tai Chi and yoga, Qigong, marimba. So we do tie in some of our community classes in our adult programming, so it's they can see them both places. But the adult center newsletter is kind of separate. They have their own email blast that they send out to people that have signed up. They usually do a mailing out to everyone that signs up. We haven't done that this year.
So what do you feel are your highest demand programs?
Definitely the foil outside, you know, the survival camps, scavengers, parkour, the tree, aerial tree dancing is very popular. And then, you know, we have a lot of engineering camps, and then soccer is real popular, Skyhawks. I mean, this year has just been wonderful. We've just had so much registration right off the bat. So people are gearing up for summer.
Are you anticipating not being able to meet the demand?
Potentially, yeah, because we have a lack of facility space.
Okay.
And just following the guidelines, we'll keep up with those. But it's down to, you know, square footage and 6-foot spacing and restrooms. Schools aren't open up yet for us to reserve their space. So it's been challenging, but we're making it work.
So
if you think of what's happened this week with, you know, the ability to vaccinate now 12 to 15 year olds. Yeah. And the CDC just came out today with if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask either indoors or outdoors, is you might not be required to do all the stuff that you've done for distancing as time goes on, as more and more people in Oregon get vaccinated, particularly in the metropolitan area, so that could help you in terms of numbers.
Great. So what are the other constraints that you feel? You know, if you had a magic wand for our rec program, what are some of the, you already mentioned facility space. Are there any other constraints that you feel really impact the staff's ability to provide rec programs?
I haven't heard anything. we're working with YMCA, you know, engineering, these other companies that we had last year. And so they have a COVID plan. They're pretty set. You know, we help provide wipes and masks and gloves and, you know, I just wish we could have more space.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Vicky, if I can weigh in just a little with Tara, I think, you know, the classes, we do utilize a lot of contractors for our classes. The area where we have challenges are when we look at all the events that we do. You know, we have a very small staff. And, you know, our park maintenance staff does a fabulous job working with us because they help us set up all the fencing, you know, all the speakers, the stages, the lights, all those things. And, you know, that's where it becomes challenging for us because we all have a daytime job that we do planning, and they're working in our parks and mowing, but everybody gets drugged into the nighttime events. Mm-hmm. We have people that are working 12, 14 hours, and then we're taking down concerts at 10 or 11. You know, so that's you know, kind of what limits us a little bit, especially during the summer. You know, without that indoor facility, summer is just loaded with events normally, you know, street dances and those things. So, you know, and I have to say, in this day and age right now, as we maybe read in the paper today, there's a lot of jobs out there, but mm-hmm. for some reason people aren't applying for jobs. So we're having that problem right now on our park maintenance site, is just getting people that, you know, we can pay to work. So we hope that gets resolved. We got a lot of maintenance to do this summer, but thanks.
That's awesome. Parks Board, do you have any other questions or feedback or reflections on what was presented? Do any of you have anybody, has anybody used or participated or have kids that have signed up?
Not on the class. No. Well, I'll just give a little bit of feedback. Tara, great job. I thought the brochure was really cool. You always do a nice splash and get attention where it's needed there. Glad to hear the classes are being filled and those sorts of things. You know, I've never taken any of the classes. I've gained some interest, but I haven't done it. But the question around the movies and the music in the park, I know is always a big one. And when that's available, I'm sure my wife and I will be up there for that.
Okay. I might suggest that you have kind of a summary of the events and go big on it with you know, the newsletter, her water bill, the paper. There are a lot of questions about, are we going to have the farmers market? Are we going to have old time fair? Is there going to be music in the park? And you know, you guys are doing awesome work. I think just a one piece of communication that has that, and then telling people to sign up for the Adult Community Center email to receive what they're doing, and put the link to the rec guide, and make that, you know, use all of the city's communication mechanisms. I think that it's a wonderful narrative that the city is coming out from COVID in full compliance and still providing so many opportunities. And I've done a little bit of, I'm not even going to say surveying, I've just asked people, you know, are you aware of this? Are you aware of that? And it's like, no, do you know what's going on with that? Are we doing anything? And, you know, send it out to all of the neighborhood associations. One of the things I really care about this year is owning a positive narrative and being much more transparent in our communications. This, you've done excellent work on this. So I just want to show it and let it shine. Any other suggestions?
Vicki, I'll just compliment them also. I don't know that people realize with the amenities and the type of programs that we do in Parks and Rec, OHA is not really our friend right now, because we spend many, many hours checking to see if the guidelines have changed, mm-hmm. where they changed. You know, they don't always redline things, so you have to save an old copy to cross-reference with a new copy. And they've done a great job keeping up on those. The other thing that really has went into full swing right now is some of our rec coordinators are working with all of our youth sports coordinators.
Mm.
Compliment our youth sports administrators, because we have baseball going, we have softball going, we have lacrosse going. Soccer just finished with spring season on city fields, and they've also done a great job working with us for OHA guidelines. And, you know, there are a certain number of people who don't like the guidelines, and I have to say our youth sports administrators have helped us take some of that conversation, so that you know, we can do our jobs without getting 200 or 300 phone calls of whys and that's been great, but that's been fun to see kids back out on fields.
That's great. I want to say, I went down to Fieldsbridge Park to check out the baseball games, and it's just beautiful. Boy, that just is such a sharp looking ballpark. I was really proud of it. It's nice. And the families were really enjoying it. So that's good. Okay, I do think it's important for us to just acknowledge and make sure that it's in our minutes tonight that it sounds like there is high demand for recreation, and the constraints identified were facility space and after hours park maintenance. That's what I heard. Did I get that right? Okay. All right. Do you have any questions or other anything else that you want to share with us, Ken or Tara, on this?
Well, I'll share one more thing. It's not really a recreation program, but it's a community program. And Tara's really worked hard with our Adopt a Park program. Through the storm, you know, we've had a lot of our community members, whether they're formal Adopt a Park programs or informal, you know, helping with cleanup, coming out to our parks, you know, piling logs and sticks everywhere. You know, Marius Young and a couple others are back utilizing Solve as a partner and having regular volunteer meetings again. And I'm sure that the rest of them are going to start back up. And like I say, that's not recreation, but it's a huge value that Tara's worked with all those groups for the past year and a half, actually, but through the storm especially.
You know, one thing I didn't hear, how are the old fire halls for hosting some of our rec programs? Has there been any programming there? I know that the facilities really don't have the correct square footage, but have those taken any, with the investments made in those buildings, have they been able to expand, provide you any capacity at all?
We utilize the Sunset Fire Hall. That's the only one that's we use, that's used quite often.
Oh, I know. There's always something going on in there.
Yeah, right now with the Adult Community Center closed by executive order, you know, for that vulnerable population, it's still being heavily used with fitness classes of all types. The rec programs have some youth programs in there, like they always do in the afternoon. We're just kind of getting ready to, you know, possibly have some small groups in there based on executive orders for rentals, but not real. So, and then Robinwood Station is kind of, you know, managed by a nonprofit, going through a process right now.
And Bolton? I know that the city invested a lot of money in those buildings. I'm just wondering if it's added any capacity at all.
Well, we are positioned to invest a lot of money in Robinwood Station. Right now, that is at a level where we are working with their nonprofit to come up with a lease agreement. Mm. So there hasn't been a construction project yet.
Oh, okay.
On the facility side also, just so you know, Historic City Hall is looking at the same thing. It's a little different process, kind of being potentially operated by a coalition, which will house potentially a number of nonprofits, and you know, city council is working on that agreement and then lease agreement also, and some of the unique obstacles that are kind of in that area with, you know, a lot of different property ownership. So they're both moving forward, not as fast as some people would like, but we're trying to push them forward as fast as we can to invest.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. That's a great update. Any other questions or comments? All right. Shall we go to our next agenda item? Is that good? Did I miss something? Okay. The next agenda item was just we know that there's a volunteer recognition that goes on every year. And it's just, you know, we were trying to be really deliberate at making sure, you know, real positive moving forward activities were on our agenda, and just wanted to kind of hear how that volunteer recognition process works and what the plan is for this year. September.
So yeah. Okay. So traditionally, except for 2020, we have held volunteer recognition for our volunteers either in September, October of each year. It's taken a couple of different formats. In the past, we have held all of our volunteers together, which are all those, you know, including you as a Parks Board, all of our volunteers at our Adult Community Center, which are many, all of our volunteers in our parks, all of our volunteers are on our special events committee with us, Old Time Fair Street Dance. And the way that we have done it is we try each of those groups has some type of leadership that comes with them. So we always send the information out to the leadership who can get it to the volunteers that they have within their program group. It's very challenging to make sure we don't leave anybody out. So we always put our volunteer event out on our city newsletter that goes out on Wednesdays via email. And it's just kind of, hey, we try to catch everybody. If we didn't catch you, call us. You want to come, come on out. Those events that we do probably average between 90 and 130 people, I think, depending on the year. A lot of our volunteers just want to volunteer and don't want recognition because we literally have thousands of people who volunteer through our program. We've done things like go to a winery. We've brought in music. We've met at the McLean House. We've met at the Adult Community Center. We haven't planned September or October of this year. It's like everything else, we're kind of stalling a little. We don't know what guidelines are going to be. Like John said, we're hopeful that things are going to be open up, but we don't want to sign many more contracts for different things that we don't have to if something goes awry that we will, you know, potentially lose money contractually. So, and we're certainly open to ideas. If any of you have ideas, want to be heavily involved in some way, just give us an email, let us know, and we can always put you to work planning something.
Can you remind me, is there like a nomination system? Did you already cover that?
Nomination system for?
To nominate, you know, volunteer of the year.
We have not gone that far yet. You know, it's, we would like to recognize all of them, even though we certainly have some that put in, you know, a lot more time than others, but it would be too hard, Vicki, unless you want to pick them.
You know what? I don't at all. I just wanted to know. No, that's great.
I would say one of the things that's really nice that you've done over the years for volunteers is to give hats, t-shirts, occasionally sweatshirts, that sort of stuff with the Westland logo on it and volunteer on the back. And I know the people that work in the parks really love that. And when you're working in the park and you've got a, you know, t-shirt or a sweatshirt on or a hat that says that you're a volunteer working with the Parks Department, you field lots of questions and other kinds of things. So I've got a hat that's, you know, almost 20 years old. I love it. It's got holes in it.
That's great.
Well, John, Tara might have a new one for you if you send her an email.
Oh, that's awesome.
Before, at some of those events that we've had in the past, and hopefully we'll be able to have them again by the fall, I'm a lot more hopeful now than I was a few months ago, is that you've had those things, and I know that the volunteers really love them.
That's wonderful. So, you know, if we had our little parks communication, we could add really appreciating all of the volunteers, especially following the all of the ice storm. We always recognize folks in September, and maybe list here some ways that if you have a little extra time, it would make a difference. Again, transparency, engagement, and focusing on being collaborative and positive. Just a thought, a suggestion. Okay. Any other questions or comments about Parks Volunteer Recognition Planning? All right. And no, I don't want to be a judge in any capacity, Ken. Thank you very much. But it is, you know, you guys know who is in those parks. I'll go to Mary S. Young. I see the same people doing the same thing. They're not sitting there with their dog watching a soccer game. They're out ripping ivy and stuff. I know that they may not have the budget, but John's suggestion of, you know, a hat or a t-shirt, that makes a big difference. And
yeah, we all have those.
Yeah.
So, and I Ken understands it really well, is that, you know, the people I've worked with for many years at Mary S. Young, which is where I spent a lot of time, not interested in getting any kind of awards or recognition.
No.
They just like the work they're doing. They yep. like the fact that they can look at a park that once was just totally taken over by ivy, and now it's not that way. Same thing in a lot of other parks. You know, the people that work there don't need to have their name in the paper. They don't need to be recognized. They just like the fact that they're making the park a nicer place for people to be.
I agree. Totally agree. Okay. So with that, the next item is how to acquire community input. And I had started mini surveys, and then we were going to combine the surveys. And quite frankly, I worked on combining it, and I realized that all of a sudden it looked like a city community survey. And if we want a city community survey, we should suggest it to the city council and have it be a city survey as opposed to a rogue Parks and Rec survey. I do a lot of surveying, and I'll be honest, when we put it all together, I started feeling a little bit uncomfortable, and I that's where I kind of wanted to start. I don't know how you guys feel or your thoughts about that.
I'm not so sure we need to do a survey.
Yeah, I'd like to back and not have our little board do a survey. I mean, if there is a need for a community survey, then we go down that path as opposed to trying to do something ourselves.
Vic, if I remember right, part of the reason we kind of looked at the surveys was trying to gain some input in front of our monthly meetings and the topics we were going to be talking about.
Yeah.
Right. And so it was like, okay, dog parks is going to be, you know, 2 months from now. And we were going to throw out like two simple questions, right, you know, just to try and get some engagement from folks and kind of hear from the local community. Mm-hmm. I certainly support that idea. I don't want a big survey like you did, but if there was a way to somehow just kind of engage folks in front of the meetings a little bit, that would be great. I don't know if the survey is the best one still, but I totally support trying to figure out how we can kind of get some input there.
Well, I love that idea, Todd. And I think having our kind of a subject of interest each month, it gives us that opportunity to just ask around. I was also going to toss out, I was trying to brainstorm alternatives. I never like to say, well, I don't like this, without maybe coming up with a solution. July, we have, excuse me, June, we have the Westland Dogs and Parks. And a thought I had is for our June meeting to just meet at Mary S. Young. And again, if we were doing a little communication, folks, Parks Board's going to be at Mary S. Young, July, whatever the date is for, excuse me, June, whatever the date is. And I know I'll get there a little early and spend some time in the dog park and talk to some people. And then we can, there's a shelter there that we could have our Parks Board meeting in and still, you know, be meeting Governor Brown's standards, whatever they may be at that time, is a suggestion. And if, like us, we know of it in advance, we can let the community know. June meetings at Mary S. Young. And then I went down and I was going, okay, so our July, we really kind of wanted to talk a little bit about budget and go bond. And our big push is the projects at Willamette Park. And so maybe in July, we meet at Willamette Park. And then I thought in August, meeting up at either Tanner Springs, maybe, or Fields Bridge. But in the summer months, meet outside and have it. We know what our topics are in advance, and we make sure that people know. I don't know. I'd like to float that as out as an alternative to survey that would at least open up one additional form of input and put us right smack dab in the middle of the topic that we're talking about. Thoughts, reactions?
Jane? I have a comment just about the June one. It's awesome to go outside. I think that's great. This is something I was just going to bring up, like from an item of interest from the board. So high school graduation has just changed to the same night as the meeting in June.
Yeah.
So just for anybody who may be involved, that, you know, that will suck up a lot of people's time.
So with this much advance notice, what is the protocol, Ken, as far as changing? I know in the past it doesn't happen very often, but we moved it from like 1 week to a different week because of a holiday or something. Supporting our high school graduation is pretty significant. Does it make sense to move the June date?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the only restrictions we had kind of during early pandemic, Vicki, was when we had to, you know, be in council chambers and mm-hmm. do these meetings from there. Now that we're doing them through YouTube, you know, we can, you know, kind of move around and we can still hold our public meetings. You know, so I think the board, if the board agrees on a date, I think that's June 10th, my calendar's correct. You know, we could do it June 9th on Wednesday, and we have to necessarily do it at 5:30. If, you know, we want to do it at 6:00. I mean, we can, with this much notice, we can certainly change it.
So how about the 9th at 6:00? Oh, I'm sorry, Jane, what did you say?
Well, not everybody has a high schooler, so, you know, not everyone's a teacher, but it just involves a lot of people. So I just thought I'd throw it out there because I saw the date changed, so.
Really appreciate that. I think, you know, if this topic is community engagement and high school graduation, if they're having a real graduation, you know, I think we should support that personally. It doesn't matter to me. Does anybody, how do people feel about meeting June 9th, 6 p.m. at Mary S. Young?
Mayor Walters, does that conflict with anything crazy that you know about?
I don't think so. have our city council meeting on June 7th, but I think that's it.
Thank you.
Do we need to make a motion for that? Or can we just, does that not work for anybody? Is this a go? Thumbs up? All right. P, Parks and Rec Advisory Board, 6 p.m. on June 9th at Mary S. Young. And that could go in a communication. And then we have July 8th. And again, the suggestion is that we meet at Willamette Park. And we can take a look at and talk about the hopes for all of the different bond projects there.
I know in the past, it's been somewhat hard for us to meet in the summer because people are gone and the staff is really busy.
Really busy.
Sometimes we haven't met, you know, in July and August.
Right. And we can choose to do that, definitely.
I think maybe one of the good things, at least right now, John, is that our schedule is a little lighter on events, unfortunately, yeah. But from a meeting standpoint, I think we're okay. I think it's great to get people out in the parks. You know, not everybody goes to all the different parks, and we can,
right.
Willamette's great. We can walk the trail and talk about different projects that are there.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah,
I'm good if you're good.
Our Zoom meeting time is 5:30. And the 6 o'clock was mentioned for June. I'm assuming that's to allow us time to get from our home to the park. Doesn't matter to me. Do you guys want 5:30 or 6?
Doesn't matter.
Vicky, I just threw that out there. I don't know that 5:30 didn't work for everybody. It's
can we keep all of our meetings at 5:30?
That works for everybody.
Okay, so let's do June at 5:30 as well. 5:30, and that's in Mary S. Young. July 8th at 5:30 is at Willamette Park. And August 12th, do we want to meet in August or do we want to take a bye?
if you do want to meet, I might suggest Tanner Creek Park because there happens to be a concert that night.
Oh, I like that. What time does the concert start?
Concert starts at 6:30. That's certainly up to you.
That would get all the board members at the thing too.
Do you think we could have a Parks Board meeting from 5:30 to 6:15?
Sure.
We'll do it. How's that? Are we in consensus? Thumbs? Yeah. Is there anybody who's opposed? Okay. Awesome. So that takes us through a little bit of planning that opens up the Parks Board to more engagement. Are there any other suggestions as far as acquiring community input?
Just a quick question. Now that we've kind of said this is where we're going to be, where does this get posted so the community members know that this is going on?
It'll get changed. We can change it as early as tomorrow on the city web page. All of our meetings are on agendas and meetings, I think is what it's called, right on the web page. And we can certainly have people put it out on our social media that we're going to meet in the parks, and Tara can reserve a shelter at each of those facilities so that we can tell people where we'll be.
No, that's great. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thanks. Any other input or suggestions on that? Awesome. Okay. Items of interest from the board.
I've got one.
John?
For Ken, where are we at on debris removal from places that have large piles of chips or debris, sort of like, you know, not only at Mary S. Young, but also up the hill?
Yeah, so we do have two large piles of debris located in our parks, one at Mary S. Young, which most of it has been chipped by a grinder, not a chipper. The other one is at Wilderness Park.
Wilderness Park, yeah.
Yeah, in the parking lot. So the city issued a request for proposals to see if the private sector would be willing to get rid of those for us.
Hold on to your hats, guys, when you find out how much the the proposals came.
I want to hear the RFP. I've heard it secondhand, but I haven't.
The city doesn't have, I mean, we couldn't come up with a solution of where to take it economically, how to get it there with the county or anybody. So Tuesday, it was the 11th, at 2 o'clock, there were two bids received by the city. One at $1.4 million and one at $600,000. And that was just the pile at Mary S. Young. So I don't have the power to make that decision, but I think most of us would agree that's a large amount of money. Part of the complications, we think, in trying to get this process to potentially be covered by FEMA as part of the storm, what that meant was we had to put, and I haven't even seen them, but FEMA contracts have many, many clauses in them, you know, that FEMA requires, and that probably scared some people off. We don't get a lot of FEMA stuff on the West Coast, you know, so we're not sure, but that's just kind of a thought process. So, you know, we don't have a really good solution for the piles right now. I will tell you they're being monitored. Their temperatures are actually being monitored. Their temperatures were low. Mary S. Young, you know, that has things chipped, would be a little more concerned when we talk to the Department of Forestry with the state of Oregon. Wilderness Park has not been chipped, so it's a lot looser, got more airspace. So, you know, that internal combustion thing people talk about is really not very likely up there. But like most of our parks right now, someone walks by with a cigarette and throws it out or lights fireworks. You know, they're a big concern. So the city's still, you know, I think city manager or council will decide on that RFP and see what happens. And then we will continue to work on all of our debris throughout the city.
As of today, I believe that the contract for removal is on city council agenda for this Monday. So I don't know if Jerry has approved that agenda or not, but it is on there. So more to come on Monday.
Okay.
Any other updates on the overall management of the post ice storm damage?
Well, you know, I can tell you that we are down to one tree company that is working for us now. We have a couple of parks left, you know, still dealing with, you know, some hangers up in trees. White Oak Savannah has some we're dealing with. We're going to, you know, we still have neighbors of some of our property that have called, and we have independent arborists and tree assessors that we are having look at those. Some of them needs to be removed, you know, some don't. So we're still in one way in the removal of hazards process. When we issued the RFP, we did have to have our park staff kind of stop hauling stuff to the piles because we didn't want, you know, a potential contractor to say, oh, you keep making the pile bigger, as we did. And, you know, so once we get past that, we'll kind of start to regroup and see where we go with some of the, you know, smaller piles that have been gathered in our parks. Just for your information, we are working with Oregon Department of Forestry, our local fire department, Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, to have conversations about, you know, wildfire issues potentially in our parks. Waltham Valley Fire and Rescue has done a great job getting information out to the community, and we push it out. FireWise is a program which really is the best defense for homeowners, and it's really just removing, you know, all the flammable things at 50 feet and at 100 feet. We're trying to kind of get some best practices right now from wildfire experts, how to deal with some of the excessive down branches that are in our parks.
Mm-hmm. You know,
where do they, when do they become a hazard? When don't they? And get that information out to the public, and, you know, make sure that people understand where we are. Because we have about almost 400 acres of open space that you know, branches have been falling for thousands of years, but certainly there's a lot more right now. And what does that mean? And how do we, you know, keep everybody safe as possible? So we'll keep pushing out the information we have and try and work with some of those border properties. We do have at least 2 neighborhood associations right now that are, you know, looking at FireWise or starting FireWise, having them come to their meetings and have discussions. So that's always good. But for us, it's an ongoing process to, you know, educate the public and kind of come up with solutions that we can do with the limited resources we have as a city. Because the storms to date has probably hit us for $750,000 or $1 million as a city, is my guess. Parks Department, we're over $250,000 just in our parks. So it was, you know, a big concern, and we'll keep working going forward.
Wow.
Yeah, I would just highlight what Ken just said about outreach, and I'm getting a lot of emails, so I'm sure that Tara and Ken are getting a lot more than I am, but people just wanting to know, like, so what's the plan with this and what's the plan with that? And even if we don't have the exact answer now, I just asked Jerry to start pumping out some information of, we are looking at it, we're doing the best we can, here's the timeline as best as we know. So, you know, please feel free to share any of this information if people ask you. I think it's important that everybody's aware that we're working on it, and we know that people are concerned.
Where in the city do we don't still have a communications officer, communications person for the city, do we?
Yeah, Alicia Schroyer.
Oh, we do.
We do. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I would encourage you to encourage all of us who live in West Lynn to work together with their neighbors. I know we, our property butts up against some city property, and we picked 2 weekends. Everybody, all the neighbors worked together, took care of all the trees, all the debris and everything, hauled it all the way up to the street, and the city, when they came to get it, and it's gone. I mean, we had 8 trees down. 8. And the neighbors
it's not gone.
Together.
It's like a couple of parks.
Yeah. The neighbors work together. So, you know, just encouraging that as much as we can. All right. Any other items of interest from the board?
I have one thing.
Yeah, Jane.
So I saw the local spray park was being cleaned, and they were doing such a fantastic job. I asked them, you know, what else they did, and just a shout out to Racing Property Services, if I can, because they clean Tanner Creek Park, Skyline Ridge Park, North Willamette Park, Sunset Park, Firehouse, Tennis Courts, the spray pads at Tanner Creek, Willamette Park, Robinwood, Merrillhurst, Hammerly, and I think they did a fantastic job.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's a good note.
They did. We can't even remember how we found them, but, you know, pressure washing is something, we have so much concrete in our park system that we, you know, we can't handle it all. So this is the first year we've contracted it out. They did clean all of our courts, tennis courts, pickleball courts, and all of our spray parks that we're going to open at the end of this month. So, and they did a great job, gave the city a great price, and we hope to use them again in the future.
That's great news. Good job. Jane, thanks so much for bringing that to our attention. Any other information or questions from the board, just general interest? Okay, so Ken, do you have any additional parks and rec updates that we haven't already covered.
Yeah, we can walk through a couple. So starting next Monday, budget meetings start with the budget committee and city council. Monday is the kickoff. A lot of the departments will go that evening and present to city council and the budget committee. Parks and Rec and Public Works will be on Wednesday the 19th. We tend to talk a little more, be a little more long-winded because we have most of the capital improvements program. And this year, again, we have the Go Bond projects. We do have all 5 of our spray parks scheduled to open Memorial Day weekend. They have been cleaned. Our staff is going through, and those are all circulating systems, checking all the vaults, all the mechanical things as they've sat idle for a number of months. Our staff is taking picnic reservations as we speak, and those will start Memorial Day weekend also. Currently under guidelines, so it's smaller numbers, 25 and 40, just at a couple of shelters is all. We kind of talked about post-storm cleanup already, the tiles. I want to let you know that after it's actually been a year, after a year of not having a pickleball club, last weekend formed a new pickleball club that wants to partner with the city. Called Willamette River Pickleball Club. They were actually at Tanner Creek tonight at 6 o'clock talking to the public. They are a nonprofit that is operating under Columbia River Pickleball Club, which is a large club, and they actually sponsor 4 different clubs throughout Washington and the Portland metro area. This saved everybody a lot of paperwork, so they don't all have to become a nonprofit. So they're under a parent company, something like a lot of Little League and soccer is under OYSA and some of those agencies. So we're excited to partner with them. One of their members is already teaching pickleball lessons for us and for the community. They want to be an inclusive club. They want to set up some hours that we can post so that everybody knows, certain courts are being done by the club. Mr. Meyer mentioned, blowing off the courts and things. What we plan to do is put kind of construction boxes out there that members have a combination to. So inside that box, you'll have squeegees, you'll have brooms, you'll have a battery-powered blower, so that when they go to play as members, no matter when it is, they can blow the courts off. Because unfortunately, our staff can't get there every single day to blow leaves or grass or things off the court. We want to partner with them for tournaments and just move forward. So that's an exciting thing for us. We are working on some of the projects. It's been a very busy month with storm. Hammerley Park project is moving forward. Skyline Ridge removal of pickleball has been, contracts have been sent. ADA pathways at Hammerley to the new courts will go in starting Monday. Fencing next, then the courts. We started talking about the Willamette Greenway Trail with property owners and leasees down near the river. We're still trying to figure out scope of work for our engineering firm with our planning department of the non-motorized boating at Willamette Park. And I think that's about all we've done in that area. Like I say, a lot of it has been wildfire issues and trying to mitigate some of those things we have out there.
Great. Do you think that it would be worth our time to draft a little communication that we can email and add? There's a lot of really good news that is going on. I'm just going to be really transparent with my interest that any additional communication to our community about what's really happening, I think is in everyone's best interest. And as people are emerging from their COVID holes, I think everyone would appreciate seeing all of these great things that are being offered and that you're making happen. Is there any support or suggestions that the Parks and Rec Board needs to engage in around the budgeting process? I know, because I've been spending a lot of time with the data, if there's any way to encourage more funds for staffing, I would certainly, I don't know what the protocol is. I know we don't usually get involved in that, but I do feel like our Parks and Rec have been working at a deficit for a long time. And as Worcester Lee left, I just want to ask the question if there's anything that we can or should be doing there.
Well, if there's a board or a citizen, you know, the one thing that we do have in the budget is we do have one additional park maintenance worker. We haven't added an employee since 2013. And we've been improving, you know, we've added a lot of acreage. Right now, each of our park maintenance employees are maintaining almost 25 acres of developed parkland each. And that doesn't go into trails or anything we do in open space, which, so, you know, that's been supported by city management, and hopefully it'll be supported by the budget committee and council eventually. But that's really important to us. So we worked hard to, you know, add a park maintenance worker. So if you want to support that, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely. I honestly, looking at the numbers compared to other cities, you could use not only park maintenance, but also assistance in the office. And it's my understanding, does the city anywhere actually have a professional project manager on staff or on contract?
Not at this time. I don't think we have one. A couple of years ago, they had one contracted project manager that was kind of working with the historic City Hall waterfront project, John Morgan, but I think it's been a couple of years since John's been with us as a contractor.
I would just add to that, anybody, it's a public meeting, so you know, you have to have permission of the whole board to show up and represent the board, but as an individual citizen, you're welcome to come give public comment. We'd love to hear what people's thoughts are when we're entering into those meetings.
Okay. Does the board want to make any board recommendations at this time? I'm happy to just speak for myself. Yeah.
Vicki, I would like to, and I'm trying to figure out how to make a motion where the board sends the or notifies the city of our support of the request by Parks and Rec for the additional maintenance employee. You know, I agree with you. There's a lot of stuff to be done out there. Fact that Ken had a contract, you know, cleaning of spray areas and stuff like that. It's just starting to be an indication of that.
So I'm hearing a motion from the Parks and Rec Board to City Council in support of adding staff in the upcoming budget. Is that what I'm?
Well, I would say, you know, support of the Park and Rec budget proposal with specific consideration to, or something like that, right?
Consideration to.
So it is?
Go ahead.
So how are you? I was just going to say it is in the budget now, Vicki, until they either approve it or take it out. So, I mean, just for wording wise, because we submit the budget and then it has to go through the process and be approved by two different bodies, basically. Right.
So the approval of the proposed budget.
Okay.
I think.
And is there a second for the motion for the Parks and Rec Board in support of the budget proposal that adds a maintenance worker? Sarah, second? Was that a second or?
I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Is anybody opposed to this? All right, if we can do that. And along these lines, I think that I would like to ask if the board feels like we should do a short presentation to council on just a recap of some of these very positive things happening, or send a communication in any way, or can we rely on our city council liaison for sharing that information? I just thought I'd you know, we covered a lot of information tonight, and there's some really positive narrative, and just wanted to know, you know, one of our things was to be better in our communications and collaboration. I know I'd be happy to come to a city council meeting just to say, hey, Parks and Rec Board, just wanted to make sure that you're all aware of XYZ, you know, 3 minutes and we're done.
I was gonna say, we can ask the mayor, but I don't want to ask her to regurgitate everything at a meeting. That's way too much. She has to study so many other topics. And Jules, I'll just throw in, I don't know that I don't think our citizen advisory boards send update emails even very well, do we? And I don't know if that's a better option for.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. I just had this conversation with Jerry this afternoon about how to better share during our council meetings what our boards are doing and what they're working on and what their goals are. I think that's it's great, and I would love to have you come before us and give a presentation. The liaisons can do it as well. I think it's nicer when it comes from a member, because you guys are much more knowledgeable, and you guys can come to consensus on what you want to say and do. I know that our June meetings are pretty full, but we could get you on the tentative agenda for July, and then I think for most of August we're in recess, but so we can get you in for July, so let me make a note of that.
So we can, if you're looking at a really full agenda, we can draft an email from Parks and Rec to the city councilors, just a quick update. You know, that's one of the outputs that we've talked about, is just a quick advisory report for city council. And, you know, I'd be happy to do a little snapshot and email it from, I can email it to the board and then from the board to city council, if that would be maybe more efficient. I don't know, whatever you want.
I think that would be great. And then even having somebody come in and just, you know,
okay,
not a huge presentation, but
yeah,
you know,
just a
couple of slides. And, yeah, absolutely. I would love it. Yes.
Okay. We'll make that happen, Jules. All right. Any other updates or items of interest from staff or board? Then I think that we can end this meeting early. Is there any feedback? Like, excuse me, before we end, just a little process check. Do you feel like everyone was heard, listened to, feel okay with the direction we were going in? Bless you. Got a thumbs up? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's officially adjourn this meeting. And remember, next month, we're meeting in Marius Young.
Marius Young.
And
Before graduation.
If you had the night before graduation, if you have a dog, bring your dog on a leash. And I look forward to seeing you then. Thanks so much. Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.